We greet you this morning in Christ's name. Also, it's been very good to have been here this morning. I've enjoyed the service thus far, and inspired by the thoughts there in the devotional this morning by Brother Kenny. Examples. What kind of an example are we leaving? And in our Sunday school lesson, Living for Christ, and hearing the brethren talk about their experiences this weekend and helping with the car parking at the fish fry, and meeting a lot of different people, your opportunity to witness. Certainly a blessing, is it not? I must say I feel a little bit lonely this morning. My wife and children are at home. They're not feeling well and sick, sickness to an extent. So this morning I walked out the door and I said, I don't know when I've last went to church by myself. So, But yeah, I do feel their presence. I think they have planned to be tuned into our live stream. So grateful for each other, the family of God. Today, the title for the message I have is A Shepherd. A Shepherd. I'd like to invite you all to turn to Psalms chapter 23 in just a little bit. I'd like for us to, when I let you know, I'd like for us to stand and read that together. Psalms chapter 23, a very familiar chapter. A chapter with a lot of meaning as we look into the writer David and what he says here about a shepherd. This message is sort of, how would I say, came about rather quickly. I didn't have as much time to prepare for this one as I have for some of the others. So I'm not sure how fluid I'll be as I go through this, but trust the Lord will provide. From this message, I have also, or in this message, I have also embodied our time at the ministers' meetings in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That series of messages, meetings, was regarding the heart of a shepherd and shepherding the flock. So I have pulled a good bit from those. And by the way, those are online. You can go to YouTube and you can find them. I would highly encourage you, if you have time, to listen to them. I know this may sound just like me saying because we were there, but there really was some rich content that the speakers shared with us there. One comment my wife made was, is that, wow, we really got preached at. And that was in an appropriate way and in a good way. So we had ministers that gathered together, and then we had someone speaking to us. And so things were shared in that context. And things are sometimes shared a little differently if, depending upon the audience. So we did get preached at, and our toes stepped on, and we were really encouraged and really we're strengthening our resolve to what God has called us to. How do we view that, and how seriously do we take it, and is it a privilege or is it a duty? Certainly it is a privilege. So yes, let's come into Psalms chapter 23. If you have that open, if we could all stand to read this together. Altogether, in verse 1 there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you for that. You may be seated. I'd like to share a little story with you. Maybe this is more so for the children. When I was approximately 8 or 9, our family, along with several other of our cousins, decided to go to a zoo. And I don't remember today whether it was in Memphis or St. Louis. But back in that day, as I remember, in fact, thinking back, I had to ask myself a time or two. Now, did I dream this or did this actually happen? But no, I really do believe it happened. So we went to this zoo and we were going through looking at various animals. And as I recall, it was in and around 10 o'clock. And all of a sudden, there was a sound that came up from the deep. And it was almost unrecognizable at first until later as it swelled. We then realized that it might be coming from a building close by. And then someone that was closer did tell us that it was, in fact, the roar of a lion. There was a lion in this building, a big male lion, and he had roared. And then we learned that his feeding time was, and this may not be quite exact, but as I remember, it was around 10 o'clock and around 2 o'clock. The sound that I remember hearing as a young boy was scary, very scary. I'd never heard anything like that. Rather than a high-pitched scream, it was truly that of a roar. I remember where I was standing and feeling the vibration. Now, not a big vibration, but a decibel that was almost atmospheric. It was vibration. And so we said to ourselves, we're going to get ready for that 2 o'clock feeding. We want to get a closer look at this. And so at 2 o'clock, we stood inside this building. Back in that day, I think they housed the cats in buildings a little more so than they do today. They try to put them in more native-type landscaping. And so at 2 o'clock, we're inside the building, and they told us that here comes the feeding cart. And the feeding cart came from a distance away, and as this lion heard this feeding cart, he commenced to begin to roar. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the roaring of a lion. It seems they sort of start out a little low and slow, and then it picks up and crescendos. But at one point, as we were standing inside this building, every impulse in my body was to turn and run. It was so scary. I hoped that his cage was going to hold him and that he wouldn't get out. So the point of this is, there's a verse in Peter that describes our enemy, the devil, walking around as a lion. Now, lions are powerful, we know, and they have an almost hypnotosis capability on their prey. I don't know how many of you have read the book Man-Eaters Don't Knock. I read that book as a young boy too. Maybe that was too much for me at the time I read it, nightmares and whatnot. But I did later in my teen years go back, and I was again amazed at that book and the occurrences of what happened there and the lion's roar, and how that he soon attacked thereafter. The lion comes in many different ways. Moving on to what we had at the minister's meetings, I have entitled some of those messages, and I'll endeavor to cover some of them. There's a lot of content, and I hope that I can stay focused here and get through this in an organized fashion. Given our lion-like enemy, shepherding the flock is a very, very important work. And as we think of David having written this psalm and what all he might have went through as a young boy out on the plains, I had to wonder, David put himself in harm's way to save his sheep. It says he took out the lion and the bear. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just let the bear or the lion have a young one and then explain to his dad that, you know, hey, a wild beast came and took one, and, you know, what was I supposed to do? I don't know whether he was taunted by his older brothers. I don't know whether his father came down harshly on him when they were missing. But David developed a shepherd heart, and he put himself in harm's way. And I can only imagine himself as he thought about his mere capability as a young lad. How could he take on a bear or a lion? Where did he ever muster up the faith in God to take him on in the name of God? But we know he did. And David was able to shepherd mightily, because of the faith that he developed in his life. In the first presentation that we had there, the title was Sermon Preparation and Presentation. Just a couple of notes about that. It is important to prepare for preaching through praying first, connecting with God, and about what God would have us to share. A very important thing that those of us that share the gospel in this manner need to do. Preparing through praying. Something that he shared there with us, learn to read repeatedly, read patiently, read prayerfully, read imaginatively, read purposefully, read acquisitively, read the Word of God until it burns in our hearts. Read it and meditate on it until it becomes a truth and a fountain in your life. I don't know that I've actually ever read the gospel, the Bible, in that manner. And as I endeavor to do that, I look forward to the impact of that on my life. First, my life needs to be impacted. And as I am impacted, and then I can share with those around me. It's important that we understand our mission. This is not just a haphazard, put-together presentation of stories and just whatever. No, this needs to be a thought through and prayerfully sought after and spirit-guided presentation to the people of God. It's important that we understand our mission. We are called to minister to two kinds of people: those who know Jesus Christ as their shepherd and those who do not know him as their shepherd. Certainly a challenge. We are called to lead, feed, preach, and serve, and stand in the gap. As young David stood in the gap between his sheep and the bear and the lion, so we too need to be willing to do that. And it was just heavy upon us to hear a brother share to us what this looks like, that of sharing with the flock, the people of God. It was humbling. It was convicting. And I want to personally take it seriously. I'm going to move on to the second presentation. The second presentation was entitled, I Sat Where They Sat. The scripture there was taken from Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15. I'll read that there starting in verse 10 in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 10. He says there, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then the verse that was a focus in that presentation, verse 15. Then I came to them of captivity at Teleb, and that dwelt by the river of Shibar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. So the thought from this portion was that Ezekiel was told to go to this place of captivity. And there was various things he went through, things that might have been scary, things that might have been intimidating. But he went. And maybe wasn't that enough of a cooperative spirit to begin with. But as Ezekiel obeyed and went, it says then, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then he came to the place where he said, I sat where they sat. And it says he remained there 7 days astonished. So the thought we get from this is, as leaders, as servants of God, as we relate to you, a shepherd needs to be able to understand what the sheep are experiencing. If the shepherd is high on the mountain and his sheep are down in the valley, And there are things there that they can see or feel that he does not see or feel. He's not able to actually give them the shepherding that they need. So it is for us as leaders. We do well to get among our people and to understand what circumstances in life they are dealing with. Things can be different sometimes from depending upon where we are and what position in life we are. So the challenge for me is to be able to feel as you feel as others feel, see as they see, and hear as they hear, tremble with them, or stand and take on whatever tough circumstance it is that they might see or feel. Sit where they sat. The importance of listening. 7 days. How would it be if we would take a little more time to listen? Maybe not so much time to speak our opinions or our solutions or our thoughts. How about listening? Listening. Listening for 7 days. He says he sat for 7 days. And after he sat for 7 days, he was astonished. Maybe sometimes if we would do a better job of listening, we would be so astonished at what our brother or sister is going through that we too would decide to pray rather than to share our opinion. And then as we share from sitting with them, and I think Ezekiel did open his mouth after 7 days. It goes on there. And it says what all he did. And a very encouraging portion of scripture there to read. It's important that we are filled with the Word of God. Filled with the Word of God. It's important that we pray for our people. And I found this thought interesting that the brother shared as well. It is important that we believe that people are created in the image of God. And because of that, there is a lot of good to be found. So challenging. Sometimes it's easy for us to look at the things that may not be right or not quite perfect or so forth. Remember that we are created in the image of God and that there is good to be found in all of us, no matter who we are and where we are in our journey with the Lord. Okay, moving on to the next presentation was taking heed to yourself. Certainly a challenge here that the brother left us with. Taking heed to ourselves as shepherds. Certainly we are concerned about the protection and the care of our brothers and sisters, are we not? Well, how about ourselves? Sometimes as we give care, we can become lifted up or think too high of ourselves. This is detrimental to our ability to minister. We need to take heed of ourselves. The verses there, the scripture was taken from Acts chapter 20. I'll start reading in verse 28 there. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you to overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Purchase with his own blood. That adds a lot of context, does it not? How do we relate to the church? God's Son came and he gave his own blood to buy the church. And for me to not understand that as I relate to the church of God would be a great disservice. Verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." How do we find ourselves as shepherds or as servants in leadership? Are we willing to stay engaged long after the lights are off? Are we willing to pray if that's the need of the hour? Knowing that there are wolves and the lions that will roar for our young. Understanding the enemy and that being what motivates us to watch night and day with tears, if necessary. Noah was a good example of this. Noah walked with God and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He took heed to himself. He walked in humility. Abraham is another one. Abraham believed God and was called a friend of God. Abraham left everything that he had grown up to know and pursued a life of a walk with God that took him away from the things that he was comfortable with. Abraham was called a friend of God. A thought the brother left us there was, for us as ministers, the burning question for all us preachers is it scriptural and does it make sense? As we deliver the word of God, as we feed, it's important to us that things are scriptural and that they make sense to you. Certainly that is the burning desire of all of us God-fearing preachers. Something that us as leaders and shepherds need to remember, and that is that we have the rock of Jesus Christ. And that rock of Jesus Christ is square in theory, in that we can rest, firmly rest upon that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. The speaker used the illustration of a ball under a dice. And I don't remember exact details. You could look it up online in his presentation. But it was a very powerful illustration. The difference between a ball and a dice, and when he was almost through with his presentation, he set those up here where we could see them, and then he threw them out onto the floor. And you can see how the ball rolled, and depending upon the rolling of the ball, you might have gotten a different view of the ball and a different takeaway. And so with the dice as well. But the interesting thing is the ball rolled to about wherever it wanted to. The dice rolled, and then it landed square. And you could see what the takeaway was on the dice. The rock of Jesus Christ is something we can squarely and firmly set our life upon. Moving on to the next presentation, that one was entitled, As They That Must Give an Account. Something that we as shepherds and leaders do well to remember, and that is that we are to give an account. We have been given a responsibility, and we must give an account for how we have stewarded that in that day. The scripture was out of Hebrews chapter 13. The focus verse was verse 17. That verse reads, Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Certainly it is something that is concerning for us, is to be able to give an account. Recently, we've come through the tax season, and it's common for us to get our information together and go see a CPA or a certified public accountant, and we give an account for the transactions of the year. We, too, will have to give an account for our deeds and how we have related to the flock of God. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says there, And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And then we have thereafter the miracle of the loaves and five fishes, and how that Jesus demonstrated to the disciples how to feed, literally using an illustration, how to feed the flock of God. We don't turn them away with nothing. We give of them as God has given us. We as people, with our tendencies, we will need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. We have vulnerabilities. We need to be cared for, we need to be fed, and we need to be protected. One thought that the brother left us with in this presentation was, a leader ought not only to consider what to say, but how to say it.
How powerful is that?
Sometimes we rush to say what we want to say or what we think needs to be said. Let your words be few and seasoned with grace. The speaker shared that he is uncomfortable when someone says something like this: I need to be honest with you. And then we proceed to say what we say. Why do we need to? Is our walk of life such that we need to say, I need to be honest with you? Or can I say what it is that needs to be said and it be taken seriously the first time? In fact, he shared how that many often will say, I need to be perfectly honest with you. And he says the more that they do that, the more he tends to discount what they're saying. That was a challenge for me. I may have already used that in my speech. I need to be honest with you. Hopefully I can take that into account. Let my nay be nay and the yea yea. Certainly a challenge. In James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the body. Certainly it's important that we understand the power of our speech. We have been given a charge. He encouraged us to discharge it without complaining or excuse. Certainly something that I want to keep in mind. How do I look at that which God has given me to do? Am I complaining? Am I making excuses? Or am I willingly doing it and counting it a privilege? The work is large. The work is daunting. The work is sometimes intimidating and strenuous. We can take courage, as was shared or given in the example of Paul. In Acts chapter 27, we have the account of where they were at sea. And the sea was boisterous, and they were facing potential shipwreck. There's three things there that the speaker shared with us that we can take as good, solid cornerstones for our life. In Acts chapter 27, there I'll start reading in verse 23. It says, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Those three things being, I know whose I am, I know who I serve, I know whom I believe. All of us have varying responsibilities. As fathers in our home, or maybe it's a leader in business, maybe you're a youth group leader, maybe you're the elder in your family, and you have others that are following you. It's important that we know whose we are, who we serve, and what we believe. The next presentation was Rejoice With Me. This was a very challenging presentation for me. I'm going to notate this one. I would encourage any of you to look this one up and listen to it. It was by a man named Kinley. I'll probably mispronounce his last name if I try to say that, but I'll let you look it up if you want to do that. This presentation was entitled Rejoice With Me. And then one of the subtopics was welcoming new members into the fold. How do we bring the seekers to the fold of God? Now, Kinley is a man that was raised in a Presbyterian setting. And he was converted through several different denominations and made his way to a Mennonite church in Pennsylvania. I believe the name of that church is Shade Mountain. Some of you may know which church congregation that is. I'm not certain. It was an incredible experience to listen to Brother Kinley share his testimony, what worked for them and what didn't work. He recounted a lot of experiences on what people said, things that were helpful and things that were not helpful. Some of it was almost reverse in its psychology. That was surprising, but it made sense. The verse there in focus was from Luke 15, verse 6. I'll start reading in verse 3, and it says here, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Certainly brings into focus how important it is that we are available for those seekers, those that are without and they're looking for something. They're looking for the answers to life. How do we help them? There's rejoicing. There's a time of sharing. And then they need the leadership to help them with this. One of the concepts that he shared was transplanting. And in that he asked in our audience if anyone was there that had ever received an organ transplant. Now, from where I was seated, I wasn't able to see. I'm not certain if anybody stood up or not. But then he brought into the focus the aspect of our spiritual transplanting, a stony heart being taken from our heart and giving us a heart that is after God. But the struggle and challenge that Kinley talked about a lot in his presentation was the transplanting of a different worldview. He had been raised in a culture that led him to believe many, many things about his view of the world. When we talk about the world, we're talking about a very broad sense. For example, non-resistance, government, politics, how you view creation. That worldview. So then he encountered the Anabaptist view, and it was so radically different. And he shared the experience of how emotionally and just logically it was sort of difficult to get through that. And he used a word that was a new one to me. I don't know that I'd ever heard this word before. I don't know if I can say it exactly correctly. I believe I've got it here. Syncretism. How many of you ever heard of that word? Have you ever heard of that word, syncretism? I've got one hand here, okay. That word, as I understand, from the dictionary, the definition is the combination of different forms of belief or practice, the fusion of two or more originally different infectional forms. He brought out how that is so tempting for us to pull from one worldview and the other worldview and try to come up with a hybrid. And how futile that is, and how confusing it is, and how much we lose by attempting to do that. Basically trying to have one foot in one kingdom and another foot in another kingdom. Very much encourage us to not go down that road. Loitering in between two kingdoms is a spiritual no man's land of death. We need to all be in on transplanting the biblical worldview into our lives. With our life, it is very important that our lives clearly illustrate and distinctly illustrate the biblical worldview. He brought out, for example, that when they encountered the 18 articles of faith that we are probably familiar with, some of those I would need to brush up on. But as we, as they encounter the 18 articles of faith and they read and studied and came to understand those, and then they looked around the Mennonites and they saw, well, this doesn't really match. That doesn't really line up. What are these people trying to say? And it helped us to realize that do we embrace it and live it as well? He shared a story that was very captivating. Kinley, I believe, in his business with his family, they do go to farmers markets or something of that sort. And they had a young lady working for them. And there was a customer that was known to be fairly rambunctious and obnoxious. And Kinley wasn't sure how that this young girl was going to fare with this customer. But this customer came up there and he said to the young girl, He said, I bet the church made you wear that thing on your head. Well, Kinley said that within him arose a readiness to come to her defense. And before he could do so, the lady proffered a response. Her response was, you know what? Nobody makes me wear that covering on my head. Jesus asked me to do it, and I do it because I love him. It's a privilege and an honor. He said the moment was just placid. He didn't share a lot about the customer's response to it, but he shared how it struck him in such a profound way. At that time of his life, hearing a young girl with that testimony was incredible, had a big impact on him. And to us young, your young children here, your life can speak immeasurably, maybe even much more so and more effectively than us adults. When you embrace the truths of God's word in your lives and you demonstrate that, it was very powerful. The next presentation was feeding his flock like a shepherd. This was taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. It says there in verse 10, Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. The subtopic of this was staying in touch with the youth. I was intrigued with this message. I don't know that I can do justice to it, but if your youth are interested, you can find this one as well and listen to it. Lots of good things there that this young man shared with us. He was in, the mission home in Virginia, is where he's serving. And he's also been involved in Bible school a good bit. And he's been around a lot of young people. And he spoke very frankly with us ministers about how to help our young people. And certainly a lot there for me to digest and incorporate into my life and into my view and understanding. I look forward to continue to do that. He shared with how that in the time of youth, it is not uncommon for youth to be a life or a time of wrestling. And I say that that is my experience as but I reflect on my teenage years and the wrestling that I did with God. And he says that we should view that more so as a strength, not necessarily as a weakness. So you youth, if you struggle, don't feel bad about that. If you wrestle with something, don't feel bad about that. As you grow up and as you come into adulthood and as you think about what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to give your life to? What are you going to sell yourself to? Wrestling with life and the principles of life is something that we need to come to grips with. Jacob encountered a time of wrestling. And what did God do? God changed him. And God will change us if we wrestle with him and we stick the process out. God will change our lives. And that's what we as people need. We need change lives. The power of God in our lives. He shared that the youth often have not bought in to the principles that we as adults adhere to as much as us adults have bought in. Maybe us adults are somewhat settled and now we're ready to defend them and to implement them. And, you know, we bring them down on our youth maybe rather harshly. We need to be careful with that. He believes the youth have a very unique perspective as they come up and encounter a principle and they think this through. Is there any way to get around that principle or do I need to embrace that principle? And so you could maybe view it as the youth vetting the things that us adults live our lives by. Sometimes it's good for us as adults to look back on the things that we have sold ourselves to do or to committed ourselves to do and see what is the basis for that. Is it merited or is it some idea I just thought up? So as a father, when our young children, challenges. View that as a good time to share and connect, and not as a time that we need to be defensive and speak in a wrong way about those things. Something that is very important for leaders to do, and that is to become vulnerable with their youth. Vulnerable as in being honest about our shortcomings, our failures, our weaknesses. And together, we strive for a goal. Not as though we are at the goal and we are asking them to come to us. And he left us with a challenge. After we interact with our youth, what is the testimony of our youth about that interaction? There's a verse, I think it's in Isaiah, but I don't have that down here. But his thought was, is that after the youth interact with us, they should be able to say that it's like the sunshine of the morning. And that is in that verse that he shared with us. That verse says something to the extent of it being like the sunshine of the morning and like the fresh green grass after a rain. This past week, we've had a couple of times where there were showers. And we had some grass that really turned out lush and green, and it looked washed and clean by the rain. And then especially when the sun found a clear spot in the sky and it shone, it was refreshing, invigorating. How do our youth feel after they interact with us? A big challenge to me. Another presentation there was entitled Binding Up That Which Was Broken. This was a very emotional time for the audience. A lot of tears and a lot of very deep thought. The brother shared about binding up that which is broken. Those that have particular struggles, those that encounter the loss of a loved one, many, many different situations that we will find ourselves in if we're in the work of the Lord. Comforting a grieving sheep. In Ezekiel chapter 34, it says there in verse 12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and any fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. The speaker brought out how that our lives can sometimes be messy, and he used a very good illustration. He had a ball of thread that was twisted and tangled in the most convoluted way you could possibly imagine. And he had this setting up on the pulpit, and you could see that, and you wonder, what was he going to do with that? But the time was right. The right time he picked that up, and he demonstrated to us, and he said, now, how are we going to untangle this, or what are we going to do with this, you know? The initial thought or temptation is to take that and just throw it in the trash can. Is that what we do with the lives that, of those that we're responsible for? Rather than helping them with it, we just want to scrap it. We just want to scrap it. It's not worth our time. A very, very big challenge to us. And then the final presentation. The final presentation was a look at five Anabaptist thought patterns. This was a very challenging presentation, almost a intimidating presentation, you might say. And I would invite you to look this one up. I think rather than finding it intimidating and or threatening, it was a good time to understand and reflect how we come to believe and do some of the things we do growing up in our Mennonite and our Anabaptist culture. There was a lot shared with regards to organization within a church and how to understand various viewpoints and not become defensive and or commence on a warpath when someone differs from us. I won't go into that a lot. It was a very good and challenging layout of those. I must say, I think he described me to the T. At least I thought he did. So within the five different things that he brought out, I felt it was fairly encompassing of all the different personalities that we run into within a group of people. I think it would be a worthwhile watch if you have time to watch that. One of the thoughts there was is that we as leaders need to be willing to give our time, talents, and money for the people of God. And certainly that is true. As we do that, we demonstrate that we are taking our calling and our charge seriously. And as we understand that it is something that God bought with the blood of his dear son, and as we understand that, it helps us to approach that in a right way. Certainly blessed by that. Okay, I think that concludes what I have to share today. Let's come before the Lord. Let's kneel before him in prayer.